Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Hey, welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. Midweek, a number of things happened today. Jimmy, I'm sure, is going to bring them up, but I want to say that there was not a lot in the news today that I found to be particularly spellbinding, other than the fact that Trump claimed that the documents that were found at Mar-a-Lago, he did take them, he said, but I just took them as keepsakes, and I guess that's okay. The U.S. debt limit today, it was hit today yet again. And as a result of that and other things, Jamie Dimon said because of the very high recession that's going on, we're looking at interest rates next year of at least 5%. Let's talk a little bit about Amazon. Amazon, as I mentioned yesterday, as Jimmy and I mentioned, are going to cut up to 10,000 jobs in the Seattle-Bellevue area. And yesterday they cut 2,300 of those 10,000. Jobs are primarily in the area of retail sales, retail delivery, etc., etc. Jimmy, what's going on your mind?
The economy is a big thing right now.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, for all you guys gold investors, I've got a pretty sizable chunk of. In fact, there's very little that I own right now, with the exception of gold.
Yeah.
Because I bailed out of the markets when I saw them starting to go. I know we talked about it back. That's been good. Gold's up. I think it's at 1930 right now, which is up. And when you start looking over the last year, it's doing really well compared to the market. So that's good. The bad thing is that, we are in a position right now where almost everybody's like cutting jobs, or at least declaring to cut jobs in big industries, in tech industries in particular. And we've got the rates that are going up, and of course the Fed is going to try to push this as much as they can.
You bet
the
Fed,
of course, makes more money off of interest rates, or at least the individuals and the controllers of the money do. We've got this digital currency problem that's coming. We've got a global economic downturn that's almost inevitable if it already had started a year and a half ago, which I argue it really has. So, it's going to be a tough time. It's going to be a very tough
really tough time. The Dow Jones Industrial Average today was off 600 points. And I think that's interesting. I think Jamie Dimon's comment about interest rates is also very interesting. I got out of the market, actually, if I'm not mistaken, it was a year ago in August. And some people criticize me for doing that, but I think I did the right thing, because the market really has not been particularly good this past year. Neither has press coming for Adam Schiff. Lou Rockwell, I'm going to post this article when we're done doing this editorial. Lou Rockwell, who I respect very much, wrote an article entitled, "Isn't it time for Adam Schiff to be expelled from Congress?" See what you think. I'll put that article up in conjunction with this daily editorial. Jimmy, what do you think is going on right now? The trend economically is certainly down. There's no question about that. I mean, we've reached the debt limit. The investors look at that badly, and that's proven by the fact that the Dow has been down for almost every day for a long time, and today it's down 600 points. Mentally, here's a really interesting article. Deaths by drugs, alcohol, and suicide have risen dramatically among male white adults. Obvious why that's going on. The article basically says that it's going on because church attendance is going down. I think that's probably one of the reasons, but I also have to say that there is so much pessimism out there. A lot of people are saying, why the hell should I stay alive? There's no point to it. I drastically disagree with that, by the way. Jim, I bet you're in the same boat.
Yeah, I It's heartbreaking to me to see the number of, you know, deaths from drug overdoses, suicides, the violence, the increase in murders, the violence. And a lot of it is related directly to not only, you know, the economic conditions, but the COVID lockdowns.
Yeah.
The continual pressure by big government to control issues that they can't control. And this big push to take away cops,
yeah,
you know, to take away law enforcement,
yeah,
in many of these big areas. It's causing a lot of pain and destruction out there. There's no question about it. And unfortunately, a lot of people on the left, a lot of people in some of these big blue states, if you will, they just don't see it. They don't get it because they're actually living in it. It's like the frog in the cold water. You turn it on to boil and they just sit there,
yeah,
until it starts boiling, until they're dead.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah,
a problem.
You know, I actually got an email today from a friend who I used to do this show with. He was one of the fellows who was instrumental in starting the show back in the early part of the 2000s, let's say from about 2003 to about 2006. His name is Mike Hartfield. Mike was also the weatherman on a major news channel in the Portland, Oregon area. But anyway, he sent me an email that said, "Al, I'm very concerned about you. All you're doing is talking about the negative aspects of society. That's got to cause a certain amount of depression on your point. From your point, I'm not a doctor, but here's what you can do to avoid that." I want to say that my attitude about what we talk in the daily editorials, what we talk on the weekend radio show about, is, I think, as Jim said yesterday, we touched on this briefly yesterday, but as Jim said yesterday, you got to know all these things to be fully informed about what's going on in society. And that, quite frankly, is the way that I looked at it. Jimmy, you want to add to that or subtract from it or divide it,
no,
or what? Yeah.
I think, again, if you are informed by sound bites, if you're informed by,
yeah,
the mainstream media,
right,
if you only get that, you know, 30-second news clip at the top of the hour on the radio station you're listening to when you're driving home, or you sit down and watch the network news for a few minutes when you get home from work in the evening, if that's all you see, and many people now are just seeing a Facebook link or a Twitter feed with a little bit of information, or,
yeah,
the front page of the computer from MSN, then you see the world in a way that that is very unrealistic to what's happening out there. So that, I think, is a big part of the problem, because so many people that aren't living in that fabricated world by the media and the tech industry, the tick, you know, the,
yeah,
technological industrial complex, if you're not living in that world, if you're actually living in the real world and feel the pain and see what's happening, that's why so many people, I think, are emotionally challenged right now. And, you know, let's face it, many people's jobs were taken away just because they didn't want to take a vaccine.
Yeah.
Many people were, you know, for small businesses, people had invested their entire lives in these businesses and they were shut down for COVID, and it's been a very difficult time for them to recover.
Yeah.
The big industries are crushing small business, and that is all very damaging to a big portion of our society. But if you're living in that little circle of knowledge and you can drive home, you can avoid all that and never see it. So it's imperative, in my mind, that we keep talking and people keep looking at the very deep issues that are facing society if we want to survive it. At the same time, we do have to keep living our lives, right, Al? We still have to be positive, and we got to take care of our families, we got to take care of ourselves, and we got to see hope for a better future.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, I still continue to have you know, kind of press with the positives, that there is hope out there, that we can do well and we can improve and our lives can go better.
Yeah.
Can do better.
You know, I want to say one thing. I agree with you 100%, Jim, but I want to say one other thing, and that is, we had 112 comments yesterday on the blog. I spent, I don't know, a couple hours, and I'm going to go back and finish it up today. I had a Bible meeting, study meeting last night, which I decided was kind of important. So I've got the whole afternoon free. I'm going to go ahead and wipe out the comments for any that come in on today's editorial. But I do want to say one thing. The comments were really good because they weren't what I call unloaded comments, where I would simply come on and say, you know, thanks for the link, etc., etc. They were really good comments dealing with what I would call globalism. I particularly appreciate what Larry said, what Out of the Box said, although most of the stuff that Out of the Box put in, I had to put, this has not been verified on it, because it's pretty outlandish, but I tried very hard to find a proof of it. I haven't looked at him again today, but we'll see what he's got in terms of credibility, because Jerry's a pretty credible guy. But I really did enjoy the comments yesterday, because every single one of them, and I'm kind of leafing through them right now as I'm talking, which is interesting. I guess that proves I can chew gum and talk at the same time. But they are comments that are, I think, really have some meat to them. And I think anybody who wants to learn more about globalism, all they have to do is go over the comments yesterday, and they will see what you guys think. And I think they're going to be pleasantly surprised. Jimmy, I don't know. Are you going to go over the comments for me yesterday?
Yeah, I've been pretty busy today. I'll take a quick look.
I realize that. Yeah.
Comment, we will. And you know, a big part of what's happening out there in society right now is there's lack of faith in our system.
Right.
And, you know, many of our listeners have had that for a long time. But more and more people are seeing behind the facade of the corruption in D.C. And it's disturbing. It's very disturbing to see the favoritism for the elite or a particular party.
Sure.
And the abuse of the justice system. And then at the same time to watch the failure of our election system and the corruption that is outlined with mail-in ballots, that what we saw in Arizona this election and, of course, in the national election in 2020. This is it's very disheartening. And the way that we overcome these challenges and the way we talk about issues that will affect people is continue to speak and to continue to push forward information.
Yeah.
So and to share it, which is exactly what our listeners are doing on the blog.
Yeah.
That's incredibly important to get these different ideas and views, and that discussion and dialogue will help see us through to a better day, ideally.
Oh, I'm convinced it is. I want to just read one of them here that came in from Larry, and I'm going to read his comment, and I'm going to read my comment first. My comment was simply, there's the rub. That was my comment, you know, coming from Shakespeare. And my buddy Larry said, the rub, ? One is not synonymous with the other. One is regarding global commerce. The other is regarding one global government and no longer sovereign nations. That's true. I don't personally, as our listeners know, I don't personally, count the one world government argument in the discussion of globalism. Larry apparently agrees, because he said of the two, obviously globalists are the threat, not globalism as you accidentally realized. Thank you. I agree with you 100%, Larry, on that one. I got a little emotional when I was talking about globalism, because globalism itself truly is not the threat. And I realize that, but it's the people behind it that are a huge threat. Would you agree with that, Jimmy?
Well, I'd say that there is a distinction between these two views. And I tend to agree with that distinction, that, you know, one world government versus globalism. But in order to achieve globalism, ultimately you have to have one set of rules that dictates and guides everyone to follow those. And so, and then there has to be an enforcement mechanism, which takes away sovereignty from nations.
Yeah, yeah.
So in order to have globalism, you need a structure that will enforce globalist agenda. If you have globalist agenda, then that equates to a one world government. So walk that through in your mind for a little bit logically. 20 years ago,
people,
20 years ago, people looked at globalism as the expansion of free trade, of expanding, you know, markets and helping others grow to a better opportunity. The problem is, as we set in motion these organizations, WTO, of course, G7, G20, yeah, that actually began, they started putting in regulations that everyone agreed to follow, yeah, but that is now being overtaken with an agenda by people like the WEF and Davos, where these leaders are all kind of getting together and thinking, hey, this is our future. And oh, by the way, that future undermines sovereignty for each one of these nations. So that's a dilemma. That's a big problem.
Yeah, I looked initially at it in a different way. I looked at globalism as being trading partners do things that'll benefit whoever they're trading with. And the example that I used was the United States and Mexico. I think that is very, very, could be put in the category of globalism. I mean, you got two countries trading with each other, and both countries are trying to squeeze as much out of the deal that they can. But a lot of the deals that come to fruition really are beneficial for both countries. I think that I think that Trump brought that out very effectively.
You can have free trade agreements. You can have individual agreements that, right, both nations agree to follow.
Right.
And of course, maybe there's some benefit to it, but let's talk about NAFTA.
Yeah.
NAFTA was an agreement between Canada, the United States, and Mexico.
Yeah.
Who benefited more than anybody else? Mexico. But what has happened there? Incredibly damaging criminal activity, massive, yeah, movement of U.S. jobs down to the southern, you know, border, down,
right,
to the Mexican side of the border.
Right.
It's not benefiting everybody.
No.
And the corrupt on the other side are gaining great ground.
Yeah.
The big global corporations are gaining ground because it's lower overhead for labor costs.
Right.
And of course, the barriers are down, but it doesn't benefit us. So what do you have in order to make those agreements beneficial to both sides? You need to have a government that, yeah, represents both sides, right, to their best interests.
Right.
And that's what happens. Again, I will argue that the theory behind globalism makes a little bit of sense until you start taking away the ability for nations to protect themselves and to protect the interests of their people.
Yeah.
And that's taking away sovereignty, and that's the problem that we're facing.
I assumed that was just a given, but it really isn't. And I learned that from some of the comments that came in yesterday. And I admitted that in one of my comments in relationship, sure, to those. You know, I want to bring up one thing that's really interesting. Wednesday morning at 9:30, for a couple of hours is a really important Bible study for me. Most of our members are people who are either Border Patrol or, and I can't think of some of the titles, you know, pretty well up on the border, at least here in Blaine, which is very definitely, you know, the northern border. But the subject of the southern border came up just kind of as an afterthought. And one of the guys who was a supervisor, you know, big shot in terms of immigration, in terms of doing what he, you know, what the border can do to stop, number one, illegal immigration, and number two, you know, illegal trafficking in certain products. But he said, you know, the problem with what's going on in the country right now is we don't have a border. And I looked at this guy, this guy's name is Jose Lopez, and I said, Jose, what do you mean we don't have a border? All you have to do is look out the window and you can see it right there. And he said, no, he said, I'm talking about the southern border. And I said, what's the situation down there? And he said, the staff is totally, totally on the verge of breakdowns and chaos because they have no idea what to think. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said this, it's basically totally an open border. Theoretically, it's not, but it is basically an open border. And these guys are starting to wonder, what the hell are we accomplishing? What are we coming to work for? And I said, you know, that's a very good point. Huh?
I think the morale is very, very low.
It's incredible. Yeah,
the failure of Homeland Security and Mayorkas' leadership,
yeah,
to establish principles that would protect the sanctity of, yeah, the United States is completely gone. This administration wants, the people behind it want free movement of labor. There are big corporations that, and of course the American Chamber of Commerce, all wants cheap labor coming across the border.
Right.
But more importantly, it's a demographic shift that changes the outcomes and undermines the nation.
Yeah.
And that's being facilitated by people like China and other nefarious entities that really want to drag the America down to a lower level. And I think that starts back from the Obama administration. I mean, we've been having these problems for a long time.
Yeah.
But Obama was very successful in setting precedent to bring the U.S. down to other companies' levels. And I think it's incredibly terrible.
I agree 1,000%, Jim. I want to say that, in my opinion, and the opinion of most actually of my Christian brothers, is that America is definitely in a downward movement in terms of the evolution of the country. Jim, I got nothing more to say. It's up to you, man.
Well, okay, so these are all kind of esoteric issues, big picture stuff. A couple of the small things that I think are really important to highlight. So one of the most draconian lockdowns in the world over COVID was in New Zealand.
Yep.
That was orchestrated by Jacinda Ardern. Jacinda Ardern was the prime minister, is the prime minister there. She just announced her resignation, will not run again for the office, and her resignation is effective like in a few weeks in February, I believe.
Yeah.
That's a huge indicator that she would not be successful in a re-election campaign, and probably the pressure is coming back against her government and how they operated, certainly as we get more and more information on the failures of the vaccinations and the absolute idiocy of lockdowns and the economic destruction caused around the world. So that's a good indicator. Another indicator that I think is kind of positive is the district attorney in New Mexico filed charges against Alec Baldwin for involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah.
Once again, we're feeling this weakness of the justice system for failures to hold, powerful elite people accountable. Certainly Hunter Biden, Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, over and over again, we're seeing this.
Yeah.
This kind of dual justice system. It's good to see this happen, although the charges for involuntary manslaughter have very little impact, or will be, even if he's convicted, Alec Baldwin's convicted, they're not going to be, it's like 18 months in jail and maybe a $5,000 fine.
Maybe.
Yeah, if that happens at all.
Right.
But at least somebody's holding someone accountable for absolute incompetence and him shooting this poor young woman.
I agree 100%. Boy, I have
so I like to take any possibility for some positive news and spread it out there as well.
Yeah, no, I agree 100% on that. I'm just trying to think. I had one other thing to say. Being at the age of 79, I think I just lost my train of thought, but I will certainly bring it up tomorrow. By the way, I want to recommend a great book, and I think that's what I was going to say, to all of our listeners. Two of them. One of them is by Glenn Beck. It's called The Great Reset. And the other one is by Peter Navarro. It's called Taking Back Trump's America. These books are must reading, in my opinion. Jimmy, close it up if you want to. And if you don't want to, go ahead and go on.
Yeah, no, I think it's time to roll it up for today. We're going to have to record tomorrow for the weekend show. And, of course, we're going to try and get a daily editorial in there. A lot of good information. I think we ought to talk a little bit more about Hunter Biden and some of the things that are going on. And the fact that some of the mainstream media, even CNN, is calling out Jim Biden, Joe Biden's brother, for some corruption. And so look forward to tomorrow to talking and getting more information out there for what's happening.
I'm sorry I asked you to close it up, but I remember what I have to say.
You're
going to like this. I've been doing a lot of study from various sources, and I have to tell you, the polls right now among voters are really in Trump's favor, and I'm getting kind of excited about that.
Well, I think, again, it would be, I mean, we won't go, we can maybe talk about this for political segment for the weekend show, but
you bet.
It's going to be very hard for any Republican candidate to maintain the strength of the MAGA Republicans that support Donald Trump, because they're not just Republicans, they're independents, and there are a lot of working class Democrats that are tired of getting crushed and tired of the corruption. So politically, it's an important point, and I think Ron DeSantis is a very smart politician. He's doing well right now. I think he will be careful before he jumps into this fray because, of course, Donald Trump has shown that he's a pretty visceral opponent, a pretty clear-cut and aggressive opponent when it comes to political argument. So I don't think anybody wants to get crushed by that.
I agree 1,000%. Jim, you pointed me in the direction of these two books, The Great Reset and Taking Back Trump's America. I went to the library. I'm glad you talked to me about those books. Jim, it's been a pleasure, and I think the listeners, if we have as much action on the blog tomorrow as we did yesterday with the high quality of the comments, I'm going to be very, very happy. Thanks, Jim. See you, bud.
You bet.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics. We will be back in a moment.